Well, to a topic that we've been talking about seemingly non-stop since May, since that incursion of foot and mouth in neighbouring Indonesia, there's been a great deal of focus on Australia's industry and whether or not it's being protected. But I want to take you overseas next to Indonesia. It's also a huge destination for many of our northern cattle, with figures from Meat and Livestock Australia showing it's Australia's largest live cattle trading partner, accounting for approximately 45% of market share. But domestic cattle production in Indonesia couldn't be more different than here in Australia. And for their population, because of religious reasons, socioeconomic circumstances, a single beast is more than just a protein source. It can be their livelihood. Lucy Cooper has this report.
Foot and mouth disease has thrust Indonesian agriculture into the spotlight. But do we really know what production is like in a country made up of over 17,000 islands?
Around 6.5 million smallholders produce around 90% of Indonesia's domestic beef supply. But what does that actually mean? You know, there's many different classification systems for smallholders. So in a country like Indonesia, say for cattle, smallholder cattle systems in Indonesia, you can look at the enterprise type. So you can have cow-calf systems, or some smallholders specialise just in fattening. You can look at the feeding system. So, you know, parts of Indonesia like Eastern Java, for example, have quite an intensive, stall feeding type system. Obviously not as intensive as commercial farming, but, you know, they keep their cattle and they cut and carry the forages to feed them every day. Many farmers across other parts of Indonesia still use a free-ranging or tethered system. And you can also look at the breeds. So the local breeds, the barley cattle, but also some smallholders have sort of crossbreeds and genetic improvement. So there's lots of different classifications, but central to smallholder production is really this sort of low-input, low-output system.
That's Dr. Anna Okello. She is leading the Global Burden of Animal Disease Initiative for Indonesia. Dr. Okello says the timing of the project, which began late last year, was a pure coincidence with the foot and mouth disease outbreak.
It is a big coincidence, and I think it's an excellent opportunity for, you know, a global program like GBADS to look at the impact of animal disease in real time. So at the moment, you know, a lot of the focus is on controlling the disease, but obviously, you know, a big question is looking at the economic and societal impact of a disease like foot and mouth. That's part of, you know, what GBADS is trying to do in general, trying to ascertain what are the burdens of these diseases. And the Indonesia case study, we're hoping, will be able to provide some of that real-time input and advice and data. It's an excellent opportunity.
Cattle are their own currency in Indonesia. They help to pay off debts, but also allow some children to go to school.
We tend to think of livestock as a source of meat and milk, for example, like we keep them and we eat them, and that's why people keep livestock. But in countries like Indonesia, there's really so many reasons that people are keeping these livestock, and they're not even to eat sometimes, you know. Sometimes these animals, particularly cattle, they're too valuable to even, you know, sell and eat them. So they're large, chunky assets that are easily liquefied. So people, if you need money in a hurry for debt repayments, for example, if someone in the family gets sick and they need hospital or medicine costs, they can sell their livestock. So in this way, you know, animals like cows or cattle, that can be both an asset and also an insurance policy, which is quite a unique financial tool. If we don't understand it and recognise, for example, these linkages between livestock ownership and children in school, then it's really easy for us to underestimate the impact of a disease such as foot and mouth on smallholder farmers.
Ever since news of the foot and mouth outbreak in Bali reached our shores, the Australian cattle industry has been on high alert. But how are producers in Indonesia dealing with the outbreak?
It was very slow in the beginning in Central Java and other islands before Bali because at that time the government really wanted to make sure what type of FMD, you know, because they wanted to find out what's the exact vaccine to use. But when it got into Bali, I think the government responded very quickly because they know what to do. And at the moment, all over Indonesia, the government isolate infected areas, started vaccination program and cure a lot of infected cattle around.
Dahala Nudin is a professor of animal science with the University of Mataram in Lombok, Indonesia. He says the number of recovered cattle is significantly higher than that of culled cattle.
More than 366,000 cattle infected. and more than 140,000 already recovered. Mortality of around 2,500 cattle and some close to 4,000 cattle culled. So actually the mortality rate is very low, less than 2%, and the recovery rate is very high. At the moment, it's more than 90% from the figure.
So what advice is being provided to cattle producers in Indonesia?
Ensure that farmers don't panic because this disease can be treated. And we're trying to get the farmers to feed them well, to clean the cages, you know, provide enough drinking water and things like that.
In response to the outbreak, the Australian government announced an extra $14 million to bolster the defence against FMD. Part of this was $5 million for a technical support package for Indonesia, Timor-Leste and Papua New Guinea to manage livestock disease. So is this enough support for the cattle industry in Indonesia?
It's not just the money, but we would like to also ask Australian government to help us with technical things like, for example, you have a very good laboratory in Geelong, you know, that can produce a lot of FMD virus because we don't have the facility in Indonesia.
Despite the high number of recovered cattle in the country, Professor Dahalanudin says with the industry devastated by the disease, there is no sight of a foot and mouth disease free future.
It's devastating because when we got the disease, we got the FMD, they cannot sell cattle at the right price. And a lot of panic selling, especially from the smallholders, they have to sell the cattle because they worried that the cattle will die very quickly, very soon. So they have to sell and sometimes they got only half price. It's not just infecting the farmers, but also impacting other sectors like restaurants, hotels that usually have consume a lot of beef, and a lot of people are reluctant to eat beef in the last several months because they worried that the virus can get into humans. The government always say to the community that it doesn't affect humans. You know, it took very long time to get Indonesia free of FMD in the past, and I think it's going to be the same now. It will take several years before we can have a free FMD in Indonesia.
Dahalanudin is a professor of animal science with the University of Mataram in Lombok, Indonesia, finishing that report from Lucy Cooper. We'll